Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We have a blockbuster trade in the NBA. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. Look, the NBA is truly unlike any other professional league. Superstars drive it. And if you complain and you kick and you scream and you throw a tantrum long enough, odds are you're going to get your way. We saw it with Anthony Davis just a couple of seasons ago. We saw it with James Harden today. James Harden and the Houston Rocket era, it's officially over. Harden has been shipped to the Brooklyn Nets in a massive, massive four-team deal. This is what Houston gets for James Harden. Victor Oladipo, former Jazz man Dante Exum, Rodions Kurix, four unprotected first-round picks, and the ability to swap picks in 2021, 23, 25, and 27. You know, they say that you never get full value in a superstar trade. This right here is the strongest draft package I think I've seen in an NBA deal. Now, I don't know that Houston gets full value for James Harden. In fact, you know what? Let me. I'm going to change that. Can I hit pause, erase, start over? Yes, they did get full value for James Harden because this man doesn't want to play there. I watched the game last night, and he is atrocious. His effort was awful. He's out of shape. He did everything he could to sabotage his situation in Houston. And so I take that back. You can get full value for a superstar when your superstar is acting the way James Harden has acted 10 games into this NBA season. It was borderline embarrassing last night when you watched that game, or if you've watched any Houston Rockets game. Borderline embarrassing. And you wondered how long a first-year GM could put up with what's happening before just accepting a deal and basically saying it's addition by subtraction. Like, you wondered how long it would take before that actually just happened, right? Well, it finally happened today. Now, it is important to mention that the Rockets got other teams involved. For instance, Caris LeVert on his way to Indiana in exchange for Victor Oladipo. The Nets send Jared Allen and Taurean Prince over to the Cavs. The Cavs send a first-round pick to the Rockets. That's the four-team deal. It's massive, though, really, when you look at it. It's massive. And now you have to wonder, are the Brooklyn Nets the team to beat in the Eastern Conference? On paper, you say yes. Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving. How could you possibly not think that this is the team to beat? Although, we just don't know where Kyrie Irving's head is at. Kevin Durant, still fresh off an Achilles injury. First-year head coach in Steve Nash. And James Harden is widely out of shape. I don't know if they're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I really don't. I think there's a ticking time bomb in Brooklyn. Now, don't get me wrong. If they get it figured out, it's a tough out for anyone. I mean, Philadelphia looks great right now. And Philadelphia was one of the other teams that was rumored to be in the James Harden sweepstakes. They didn't want to give up Ben Simmons, apparently. I don't blame them. Things look good right now in Philadelphia. I don't know that this Brooklyn team beats the 76ers. I really don't. And Philadelphia, you can look at their 8-4 record. They had to run Dwight Howard out at point guard a couple of nights ago because of everything that's going on with COVID issues. You got to watch the Philadelphia 76ers. I like this team. I like what Doc Rivers is doing. I think they have a brilliant front office mind in Daryl Morey who does not have to play the desperation card in Philly. That's a good team. Brooklyn, too many question marks for me. I mean, seriously, I get it. It looks terrific on paper. And I'm not saying that Brooklyn should not have made this deal, because when I look at the fact that they gave up Jared Allen, Torian Prince, Caris LeVert, I look at this movement that they have and everything that they gave up in order to get Harden. I'd have given it all up for Harden. Don't get me wrong. I've said on this show a million times, trade the first rounders, get rid of them. I don't care if we're talking NFL. I don't care if it's baseball, if we're talking prospects. I don't care what sport it is. When you have an opportunity to bring in a proven commodity, someone that can do things so rare, and James Harden is a very unique scorer, and you put him in a backcourt with Kyrie Irving, and then you have Kevin Durant on top of that, this team is going to give fits, no doubt, if they can come together. Trade it all. Look, the Lakers gave up a big package for Anthony Davis, remember? And at the time, people said, boy, this is a lopsided deal. The Pelicans won this trade. No, they didn't. You never win a trade when you give up a superstar in the NBA. You never win a trade when you give up a superstar in Major League Baseball. We rarely see trades in the NFL because it's a 53-man roster, or however many it is at the moment, compared to a 12-man roster in the NBA, compared to your 25-man roster in Major League Baseball. It's a little different. But really, superstar trades in the NFL just don't occur nearly as often as what they do in the NBA. And it's important to note because it's an agent/superstar-driven league. Cannot stress that enough about the NBA. Superstars and agents drive the league. Unlike any other professional sport in this country. And it gets tiring. Like, I feel bad for Rocket fans. I think the Rockets did fine, all things considered. They have a lot of pieces to work with. Victor Oladipo has an expiring contract. If they don't want him as a part of this rebuild, he doesn't have to be there. They have one bad contract right now, and that's John Wall. That is it. But I feel bad for Rocket fans watching what I saw last night against the Lakers. Watching what I saw a few nights ago against the Lakers. It's dreadful basketball. And it's all because of James Harden and his inability to adapt. Rocket fans love this guy. Well, that relationship soured extremely fast because James Harden handled this situation so poorly. Can't get over it. But now it's over. The trade in which Houston fleeced Oklahoma City, that results in zero championships. Fresh start for the Houston Rockets. It will be a complete fresh start when that John Wall contract, it's going to be a while for that, but when that contract no longer limits the squad. We'll talk more about this a little bit later on in the show. We'll review this trade, and we'll talk about the ramifications of it. That's coming up in just a bit. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA. Now, we were expecting to have the Utah Jazz on tonight against the Washington Wizards. However, that game has been postponed. Utah at Washington, Orlando at Boston, Atlanta at Phoenix. Those three games will not happen tonight. We do have a full slate, though, beginning at 5 p.m. We get the Mavericks and the Hornets. We also get the Bucks at the Pistons. 5:30 tonight, Brooklyn at New York. There's not going to be a whole lot of players available for the Brooklyn Nets because, yes, Kyrie Irving is still not playing. That game is on ESPN at 5:30. We get Memphis and Minnesota at 6. The Lakers and the Thunder also at 6. Nightcap on ESPN tonight. New Orleans at LA. Talking about the Clippers, of course. And then Portland at Sacramento. And that's what's happening in the NBA right now. Very busy, busy day. Everything that is going down overshadows, everything that's happening with this Rockets deal overshadows everything else in the national sports scene. The NBA storylines are unlike anything else. I mean, truly, this overshadows literally everything. We'll talk more about it coming up in just a bit. Local sports recap is straight ahead. Plus, we're going to start preparing for a very, very important game between Carbon and Emory on the girls' basketball court tomorrow. You've heard from Coach Ted Bianco this week. We'll hear from the other side as Coach Lynn Tuttle will join us when we return. Again, we'll continue to talk Houston Rockets, James Harden. That is a done deal. And we'll check on the injury front in the NFL as we gear up just a few days away from the divisional playoffs. That's all straight ahead, and it's right here on Drive Time Sports on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Middle of January, obviously high school basketball almost every night of the week, and well, now that we're down to the final 5 weeks or so of the regular season, things start to amp up a little bit. We have one of the most intriguing matchups of the regular season tomorrow. The Emory Lady Spartans will travel on the road to take on Carbon. The Lady Dinos number one right now in the 3A classification. Emory number five, both fresh off very impressive wins. Carbon defeated number one South Sevier. Emory defeated number two Richfield. Emory now has to take on the number one team after beating number two. So, yeah, very tough stretch. Both of those games on the road, by the way. We'll talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartans. And, Coach, as always, it is a pleasure. Thank you.
You bet, Jordan.
Coach, it's the fun time of the year. Region play is now off and rolling. And before we jump ahead and talk about tomorrow's game against Carbon, we have to talk about the region opener. This was against the Richfield Wildcats at that time, the number two ranked team in the state in the 3A classification. And you guys travel on the road, and Coach, immediately you popped Richfield in the face. I mean, a 14-point lead at the end of the first quarter that extended to close to 20 by the time you guys hit halftime. The girls were in total control, and they responded immediately. I mean, on the road, you couldn't ask for anything more.
Yeah, we come out, like you say, right from the get-go, was ready to go, and kind of knocked the wind out of Richfield early. Richfield probably expected to come in and kind of just turn the tables, have the table turned on. What happened, they were going to come out and knock us out early. But the girls were ready. They wanted to go. And fortunately, right from the tip, everything went well for us. We shot the ball well. And I got to credit my team. Defensively, they were on fire. I mean, we wasn't giving Richfield, their shooters, any space to even look at the rim. And when they did get a shot off, we had hands up and was trying to disrupt it. So defensively, they were phenomenal in that first half.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of, I guess that's the norm, right, Coach? When you go on the road and you play a competitive team, obviously you have to knock down shots, but if you're not in it defensively, things can go wrong in a hurry.
Yeah, if you're not in it defensively, you get the opposing team on a roll, especially if they have some shooters, let them get in a rhythm. It's a difficult task.
Now, in this game, Coach, as far as offensively what you guys were able to do, Tambry was fantastic. If I'm not mistaken, it may be a career high for her at the varsity level, right? 24 points, knocked down 4 3-point shots. I mean, she shot the ball extremely well.
She did. I don't know if it's career high. I haven't really paid attention that much, but she come out firing, ready to go. Missed her first couple, but I tell my entire team, good shooters keep shooting until it falls. And you know, we done well down there. Tambry was firing on all cylinders. We still have some girls that struggling offensively, and I'm hoping that'll come. Once that does, we're going to improve as a team, and I'm just hoping that happens quickly.
When Tambry is shooting the ball that efficiently, Coach, what is it doing for the rest of the team? Like, we've talked so much about Tambry and how she's had to play out of position and how things can open up around her when she's taking the ball to the basket, when she's being aggressive. But when she's shooting the ball from the perimeter like this, what does it do for the team?
Well, it should open up the other team members. Richfield, in that situation, they play such tough man-to-man defense. They don't really help. You know, sagging help if some other player like Tambry is on fire, they stay straight up. So the other players were still being guarded, pretty tightly, and there wasn't a lot of opening for them. But I think if you get in a zone play where a zone has to concentrate on an individual player, the other players on the team, they should get some open looks. And it should open them up somewhat. Tambry playing out of position for the first preseason and basically down there. We get Tatum Tanner back. She should offensively, if she's a presence in the paint, it should open it up outside considerably for all the other four players.
You talk about getting Tatum Tanner back. Coach, does she even need to be widely effective to change the game and to change the landscape of what the floor looks like when she's on the floor. I hate to use the word decoy, but in a sense, her just being there without scoring 10, 12 points a game, I mean, it changes things drastically, right?
Oh, it sure does, especially defensively. Her arm, wingspan, you know, she can cover from block to block in the paint. Let's the other players be a little more aggressive defensively, because if we get beat, we've got Tatum there waiting for him in the paint. Offensively, I mean, you know, if she could average that 12, 14 points a game, yeah, that's a bonus. And I expect that to come as her knee strengthens and she gets some confidence and she gets some legs underneath her. But defensively, yeah, you mentioned decoy. I think it's intimidating for other girls to take it in towards her, her being 6'5 and having that wingspan.
Yeah, I've always felt like when you're watching girls, even just warming up, right, it's so much different than boys because there's a different set of athleticism that we're talking about in boys basketball. But just when you see someone Tatum's size in warm-up drills, I mean, it does bring a little bit of intimidation to the opposition.
Yes, it does. And I, you know, we expect great things from Tatum moving forward. I hope every week she gets stronger and a little better shape, and she's going to be a big attribute to our contribution to our February play when we try to make that push for a state championship.
Hey, Coach, I can't stop talking about the Richfield game until we mention Addie Lester as well. She gets into double figures with 10 points. Great game for Addie.
Yeah, she does. She does well. You know, everything she scores is a bonus. Defensively is where she shines. She puts a lot of pressure on the opposing point guard and kind of makes it difficult for their offense to get in a rhythm. So that's where she shines and is exceptional. So she works her tail off day in and day out, 110%. It does not matter whether it's practice or a game. So yeah, we're pretty high on Addie.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Spartan basketball squad. Coach, we'll jump ahead and talk about tomorrow's game. I don't know if you can have any more of a difficult start to region season. You guys have to play the number 2 ranked team in the state on the road, and now you got to play the number 1 ranked team in the classification on the road. And so 1-2 right out of the gate, both on the road. I mean, I guess if you come out of this one on Thursday, you've weathered what's a pretty intense storm to start league play.
Yeah, we have. Very difficult. You know, it's one thing, like you mentioned, to start with the number 1 and 2 at home, let alone traveling on the road. But, you know, we waited a long time, even being region beginning last week. First 2 weeks, we still only get 2 games. And of the, I guess it'll be 8 games. We've only had 1 home game. So we've been on the road, you know, 80% of the time. And, you know, we just try to approach it the same way. It's still the same hardwood floor. It's still the same distances. You just go and try to put together a good game and play to our strengths and try to take away the opponent's strengths. So away or home, I hope we can play well both places. But being Richfield first and Carbon second, it has been a difficult stretch. I'm just hoping we can show up tomorrow night and play up to our capabilities.
And it's a very good Carbon team at 10-1 right now. And, Coach, I'll be honest, I am not overly surprised, but, I mean, there's been a lot of underclassmen on this Carbon team that have played just exceptional basketball. And you go back to their victory over South Sevier. I mean, again, it's a lot of youth, a lot of girls that we didn't necessarily see a lot at the varsity level last year that are playing lights out for this Carbon team.
Yeah, they are. Carbon's a great ball club. I think in the summer they were struggling a little bit. But they've had some girls step up once the season started and, you know, giving them huge minutes and scoring. And, yeah, Coach Bianco ought to be pretty happy and satisfied to what the girls are doing for him. And like I say, they are a great ball team.
We know that Carbon has a defensive identity. That's something that they've had for many, many, many years. And, of course, when you go on the road and you play Carbon, it makes it even more difficult because of the environment. But, Coach, when you look at this team, is it any different from any other Carbon team that you've seen in recent years?
Well, I think they're probably more athletic. They lack – I think the one place the Carbon team lacks is in their bigs, you know, the presence down low. They got the Cartwright girl. She's strong, she's tough, but she is a little undersized and typically going against bigger players. But we expect you know, a dogfight. Defensively, they're going to be tough. They cover the floor well, help each other out. And but, you know, Carbon teams of past, they've always been athletic, but I think this year they're extremely athletic.
Yeah, and I think that shows on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, you throw some of these stats out. In 11 games, McKenna Blank has 30 steals. Sidney Orth has 27 steals. Jazzy Jensen has 23 steals. I mean, they're so active defensively. That's where the majority of their success comes from. It's defense creating offense.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, I'm sure Coach Bianco thinks the same as I. I tell my team, your offense may struggle, but defense should never struggle. It's all an effort deal. And Carbon, they're, like I say, they're athletic. They cover well. They flash well. And then they've got some basketball IQ. They know where to go on the floor. They know what angle to take away from the opponent.
Yeah, Coach, you and I had the conversation many, many of times talking about how the schedule was just so sporadic, so spread out. And now that we're in region play, really, it's still, I mean, you guys have not played a lot of basketball. It's the only game this week. So just looking towards a full week of practice, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the norm for you. I could ask you what practice was like, but you guys have had to deal with that all season long. So really playing two games in essentially 14 days, that's nothing new.
No, it's not. You know, it's difficult to get in the gym, have a game, and then obviously you're going to get in and work on where you think you struggled. But to get in, it's a week later, and it seems like you say the whole year we've got a game and then we've got a week off, a game and a week off. And it's been difficult. And the first two region games have fallen kind of in the same line. Hopefully we can get past this on Thursday night, and then a little normalcy takes off. We have our first week with two games, I think, next week.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. I was talking to someone the other day about high school basketball, and I said, typically, by the time we hit mid-January, the grind starts setting in, and that just has not been the case, I don't think, for anyone this year. You know, you lose 2 weeks at the beginning of the season, and then there's games being missed here or there, and it just seems like the non-region portion of the season. It was not the traditional grind, to say the least, and now we got 9 games left. That's it.
Yeah, it's flying by, losing them first couple weeks. Actually, for us, because we spent so much time in the gym practicing and stuff, it doesn't seem like it's been a shortened season. But, you know, all my girls are always excited. We practice so much, they're excited to actually hit the hardwood floor and have a contest against an opponent. So we're definitely looking forward to tomorrow night. Win or lose, you know, these are the games that prepare you for the end of the year, because this is the closest to the atmosphere you're going to experience in the state tournament.
No doubt. No question. Coach Lynn Tuttle, again, of the Emory Lady Spartans. Coach, it's always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time, and we'll see you at the game tomorrow.
You bet. Appreciate you, Jordan. Thank you.
Coach Lynn Tuttle, again, of the Emory Lady Spartans, taking out the time to join us here on the show. Tomorrow night, live coverage of the Carbon-Emory basketball game. We'll begin right here on KOAL, beginning at 6 p.m. It'll also air on our sister station, KRPX 95.3 The Peak. Looking forward to it. And then on Friday, we get Carbon and Emory boys basketball. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Coach Jeff Cincinnati is set to join us. That'll be on the show tomorrow afternoon. We've got a break for just a moment. More coming up when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Now, more Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, the play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
The main story today, it's James Harden on his way to the Brooklyn Nets. Broke that down a little bit during the intro to the show. A ton of assets coming Houston's way. Rockets getting Victor Oladipo, Dante Exum, Rodions Kurix, 3 first-rounders from Brooklyn, 1 from Cleveland, and the chance to swap picks in 2021, 23, 25, and 27. That's a big haul. That's a big haul. Look, I think that the Rockets get instantly better. I know that Brooklyn has to be a contender in the Eastern Conference. I get that. But I think the Rockets get much better as well. And I do believe they're going to hover around 10-9-8 in the West. I really believe that. We'll talk more about that trade next segment. While all that was happening, we didn't talk a whole lot of NFL during the intro. And it's a great time to be a football fan. We're just a couple of days away from day one of the divisional round. Great matchups. I mean, really, nothing would surprise me this weekend. Just look at Saturday's slate. Rams, Packers at 2:30. MVP of the league, Aaron Rodgers. greatest football player on the planet, Aaron Donald. And then we get Baltimore and Buffalo. And while I like the Bills an awful lot, the hottest team in the NFL right now, it is the Baltimore Ravens. And then Sunday, it's Browns Chiefs, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. It's setting up to be a terrific weekend of NFL football all the way around. Now, I know we live in Bronco country. A lot of Bronco fans around here. That's fair, right? Bronco and Raider fans, they seem to dominate the fan base in the state of Utah. The Broncos are not in the playoffs, but they are making waves today. John Elway and the Broncos, they have their new general manager. And this is a big step forward for this Broncos organization. John Elway tabs George Payton as the new general manager. He spent 13 years with the Vikings, and now he's agreed to a 6-year deal to be the Broncos general manager. That's a very long time. Now, the terms were not disclosed, but the length of the contract was 6 years. And if you're unaware, that's a whole lot longer than John Elway ever had in that job. That's a 6-year deal. Turnaround for general managers isn't nearly as big as it is for coaches in the league. But 6 years, that's an awful long time to get something turned around. I like the direction the Broncos are going immediately, because you're telling the obvious best candidate for this job in your mind that you have a lot of faith in him, and you know you're not going to get this team out of this current mess overnight. And when you look at the landscape of that division, well, of course, you would take the Chiefs situation over the Broncos. You would take the Chargers situation. They may not have a head coach, but they have a heap of talent. And I think you would take the Raiders situation as well. I think Mike Mayock and John Gruden, it's still two guys that I have a lot of faith in. You're not going to get out of this mess overnight. You got to take a look at the competition that you have within the division. And so to give Payton a 6-year deal, I think it speaks volumes. Now, the Broncos also interviewed Terry Fontenot, who's at the New Orleans Saints. They interviewed Champ Kelly of the Chicago Bears and Dave Ziegler of the New England Patriots, and also the Broncos director of college scouting, Brian Stark. That's who they interviewed for this particular job. You know, too often, you see dual roles. And I mentioned a dual role earlier on in the show when we were talking about the NBA. Doc Rivers had player control when he was with the Clippers. It didn't work. And to be honest, that rarely works. Don't point out New England to me either. It's a different situation. Bill Belichick's in a world of his own. And while Elway's not on the sideline calling plays, this guy had a whole lot of responsibility within this Broncos organization. I mean, he was the top decision maker with this franchise for 10 years. And it was about 9 days ago he announced that he was stepping away from the day-to-day personal operations, but he was going to remain president of football operations, at least through the final year of his deal. So I don't know if Elway comes back. Wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't return in Denver. And the reason I say that is because you have a legacy to deal with. I think you got to be careful with those contracts as well. How often do we see legacy players take over front offices or take over the side? The bench in the NBA. It happens a lot in the NBA. Happens in Major League Baseball too. And all the greatness that they put forth on the court or on the field as a player vanishes when they struggle in the front office. You can't fire John Elway. You can't. So a new general manager is in place. I wouldn't be surprised if Elway walks away at the end of next season. Bronco fans will remember him fondly. I mean, he won 2 Super Bowls as a player. He went to 2 Super Bowls as a general manager. But I honestly believe this is really, I don't want to use the word historical, but it's an important day in Bronco history. And I say this for a couple of reasons. For one, the team has all kinds of contract decisions that they have to make this offseason. Von Miller, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, they're all scheduled to be unrestricted free agents. What are you going to do at quarterback? I don't believe they have one right now. They have one of the youngest rosters in the league, enough salary cap room to really do whatever they want in the open market. And I also think that the ownership situation that the Broncos are in right now between Pat Bowlen's children, this is a key time within the Broncos organization all the way around. And so you give Payton again a 6-year deal. He's going to be the general manager when something happens within the team's ownership in the next couple of years. He's going to be the general manager. So, you know, we don't typically spend a ton of time talking about general managers, and I don't know if you've heard of George Payton or not. But last year, he was a finalist for the Browns general manager spot, pulled his name from it. He was looking for the right situation. And he has said, he addressed all Bronco fans, and he said that drafting and developing players, it's number one. That's the number one priority. They're going to be aggressive but not reckless in adding talent to the roster. That's a quote. That's what he said today. But the fact is, this man is now in charge for the next 6 years. It's a transitional period in Denver. You are the worst situation in that AFC West, and you have no idea what's going to happen as far as ownership is concerned. Yeah, I think I look at this as a very pivotal day in Bronco history, and it was one that I thought was worth mentioning here on the show. And again, get familiar with George Payton. I think he's a bright guy. There were also rumors that he'd be going to Detroit as well. So he was someone that was sought after. But again, I don't think you can stress enough just how important of a day it is for the Denver Broncos. You may not be in the playoffs. And trust me, it's a whole lot more fun when your team's in the playoffs. You know this. But at the end of the day, they have someone that I think will at least get the ball moving in the right direction. And they are. They have the worst situation out of the entire AFC West. We're going to break one more time. We'll come back. Let's go over the NBA trade once again as James Harden's on his way to the Brooklyn Nets. We'll talk about that right after this.
Since they want to know. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Big story today, James Harden on his way to the Brooklyn Nets. That became official about 2 hours ago. Huge deal. Again, you never get full value for a superstar. Can't stress that enough. But I do believe the Houston Rockets today acquired the top draft package I've ever seen for a superstar. And I'm actually really impressed with how fast the Rockets moved compared to what happened last night, which was just a train wreck all the way around. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jamison Welsh of BasketballNews.com. He joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. So, of course, we got to get Jamison on to break this down today. Jamison, thank you for the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
I know you, like most who cover the sport of basketball or the NBA, you've got to be happy that this saga has come to an end, that maybe it lasted a lot longer than anyone in Houston would have liked, but the fact is, they did get a pretty strong package today. I'm actually quite impressed.
It's not a bad package. I'm not a big fan of getting a bunch of picks, because, you know, picks are picks. You just never know where they wind up, and, you know, it's a very, very risky business. However, they got more clarity to their situation. You know, getting Victor Oladipo and a bunch of picks is good. Like, that's a good thing. But what are you going to do? Are you going to re-sign Oladipo, or are you going to move him and bottom out and get more picks? A lot to be seen. You have an owner that doesn't really want to pay luxury tax or anything like that. I can see them moving on from P.J. Tucker as well as Eric Gordon if they choose to. So there's a lot of things going on. I'm very curious to see what's the next step.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. P.J. Tucker more than likely on his way out. You mentioned Eric Gordon as well. You have to mention those two with what's happening right now in Houston. And as far as what you said about draft picks, look, I'm always of the mindset, trade your picks. I've always been of that mindset. I don't care if it's the NFL. I don't care if it's Major League Baseball, the NBA. Trade your picks for proven commodities. It's changing a little bit in the NFL, but it's the same concept in baseball and the NBA. I'll tell you what I'm not a fan of. I am not a fan of swapping picks. I think this is an overrated aspect when you look at deals. Now, the Rockets have the ability to swap picks with the Brooklyn Nets in 2021. Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. Odds are they don't swap picks with them again in 2023. The back half of this deal, where they can swap picks in 2025 and 27, that's the interesting aspect of this deal, because by the time Oladipo is probably no longer wearing a Rockets uniform, Dante Exum on his way out, he'll no longer be wearing a Rockets uniform. Let's just be realistic. You have the ability to swap picks with a franchise that may be looking to rebuild by the time you hit 2025 or 2027. I know it's a long time down the road, but that's what stood out to me in this trade.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the objective. If you're a team like Houston that's trading a star player, you want those unprotected picks as late as possible, because more than likely, you know, Durant and Harden will be out on their way out. You know, they won't be all-star, superstar players 4, 5, 6 years from now. That's just not going to be the case. So if you're able to wait it out, then you wait it out. However, I'm not big on acquiring a bunch of picks, because with the picks, you still got to draft.
Like, you still got to do something with them, right? It's like OKC, right? You still got to do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. Remember when the Pelicans traded for Anthony Davis and everyone was like, oh my God, they got a great package. They got a great, all these picks and blah, blah, blah. But the Lakers won the championship, and the Pelicans are further away from the playoffs today than they were when they made that trade. So, you know what I mean? So what really is it? I think people get caught up in the mind frame of having a bunch of picks and equating that to being able to do so much extra stuff. And for GMs, they love having assets, but I mean, you break it down, you can't really draft all those picks. Like, for instance, Sam Presti can't draft all those picks.
No, he can't. It's not possible.
Like, exactly. So having all the picks is cool until you got to actually draft them. If you can't draft them, then you got some issues. But I'm very curious to see what happens going forward. Brooklyn's in an interesting spot. Houston, we'll see. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And you mentioned Dante Exum. There's a chance he might not be in the league that much longer. He's just not that good. And he says he's being hurt. We don't ever need to mention him anymore on the show. I know he's a former Jazz guy, but we don't need to mention him.
Look, Jazz fans don't want to mention Dante Exum anymore. I mean, look, they stole Jordan Clarkson for Exum. That's going to be his footnote in Utah Jazz history. Let's just be real.
Yeah, and Jordan Clarkson's on his way to having a really good career for a late second-round guy. Kudos to him. But at the end of the day, like, it's the Lakers and everybody else. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, no matter what trades get done, the Lakers proved it last year, and they're proving it again this year. You've got to have defense. Like, you have to have a defensive scheme and a system with guys buying into it fully. And you can't get that mind frame in the middle of the season. It doesn't work that way. That takes training camp. That takes leadership. And most of these other teams don't have that. And until that's the case, we're going to see the same old, same old.
Jamison Wells, you get a basketballnews.com, joining us to talk about the trade that really rocked the NBA earlier today. James Harden on his way to the Nets, Victor Oladipo to the Rockets, Jared Allen, Torian Prince to the Cavs, and Caris LeVert to the Pacers. Now, with all of those moving pieces, Jamison, you look at the Brooklyn Nets, and yes, on paper it looks great, but this is not the best situation in the world right now. It's not as if there's clarity with Kyrie Irving. It's not. I mean, really, when you take a look at the situation in Brooklyn, it looks beautiful on paper. However, it's a lot of moving pieces. You have to make this trade. I'm not saying that the Nets screwed up. I'm not saying that at all. You have to make this trade 7 days a week. You make this trade. But I don't believe it's a foregone conclusion that this Nets team is now the best team of the Eastern Conference for what we've seen so far this season, knowing the situation.
No, you're right. I actually still like, I like Philly, I like Milwaukee. I even like Boston as a contenders out that way. So we still have a lot of basketball left to play. With that being said, the Nets did get better.
Yeah, no doubt.
Knows, but they did get better, but they also got Kyrie insurance, because we don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie going forward. We don't know if he's going to retire. We don't know if he's going to be out for the year. No one really knows. And Kevin Durant's able to opt out after next season. If things don't go right or if he doesn't feel it, he can bounce. So this was more of insurance on keeping Kevin Durant there for the long haul rather than anything else in my eyes. Because if you went into this season and who knows what happens the rest of this year with Kyrie and you play it out, next season becomes very stressful, because if your best guy can leave and you get nothing back, you're in a lot of trouble. So it's more to me, this deal was made as insurance for anything, but we don't know what's going on with Kyrie Irving. At the end of the day, like, he's the key. If he's able to come back and fit in, they're okay. But if he's not coming back, or if he retires, or if he wants out, then who knows? Who knows? Like, it's a big mystery at that point.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, and I'm just trying to think of one off the top of my head, so I'm just going to throw this out there. When Sam Presti made a move and he brought in Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, it was kind of like the tip of the hat, right, to Russell Westbrook. Look, we can build around you. We may have lost KD outright. We may have traded James Harden for nothing, but we can still build around you. I almost feel like, while Brooklyn has to make this deal in the same sense, this is a nod over to KD. Hey, look, this is what we're going to do for you. That's kind of the vibe I got out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where they got to keep their guy happy. I mean, Kevin Durant came to them and basically told them, like, hey, like, I'm signing with you guys, so make it work. And they held up their end of the bargain, and they're doing the same for him. They are making it work and getting one of his best friends on the team. Now, is it going to work out? I don't think so. I don't think the way these guys play and the deficiencies they have, I don't think it's going to work. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a hell of a story. But the one thing we got to remember, Kevin Durant couldn't handle the Bay Area media, which is like a light media compared to others. So if he can handle the Bay Area media, what's going to happen when you got the New York media after a game where somebody goes 7-for-20 and they, you know, miss a bunch of threes and have some turnovers? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, especially in the circus that's now going to be the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, especially with the Kyrie situation and James Harden. Yeah, this is going to be a different kind of beast than what we've seen Kevin Durant ever a part of. We can't overlook the other two teams in this deal. And Jameson, I know the Cavs give up a first-round pick in this. However, they grabbed Jared Allen. And when you take a look at what this kid is really capable of doing, I think the Cavs did very well here today as well. And I don't think that can be overlooked.
Man, look here. They got the best defender that Brooklyn has to offer. They got a young guy who should be signing one of those extensions in 4 years, $80-plus million extensions. He's gotten a lot better since his freshman year at Texas to now. He's gotten a whole lot better, and he's going to keep on progressing as well. He's one of those bigs that you kind of want to have. You know, those are the modern bigs that are able to run up and down the court, rebound, block shots, rim run, and hold their own on switches. If you got one of those, you keep them. So that leads me to believe in Cleveland, they're probably going to trade Andre Drummond at some point or, you know, move JaVale McGee at some point as well. I mean, because Jared Allen is their center of the future. And he should have still be in Brooklyn, but he's not friends with Kevin Durant like that. That's why he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Cavs did very, very well here today. And when you take a look at the Pacers, getting someone like LeVert and moving the deal of Oladipo, who may not be with the Houston Rockets past this season, I don't think it was a bad day for the Pacers either. I mean, it's one of those deals that I can break it down and look, okay, Houston had to move on from Harden. We know this. Brooklyn had to make this deal. I get it. The Cavs got better. Honestly, I don't fault the Pacers for what they did today either.
No, the Pacers definitely got better because they got a guy that, one, is under contract, and two, I think he's healthier than Oladipo is overall. So they're in really good shape going forward. The thing about the Pacers is they've been stuck in no man's land for the last few years now. Mm-hmm. When I mean no man's land, you know, not good enough to really contend, not bad enough to tank. They're right, like, the worst range in the NBA to be in my eyes is, like, between 6 and, like, 11 in your conference because you're not good enough to really contend with the good teams. At the same time, you're not bad enough to totally tank. You know, if LeVert can stay healthy, we've seen what he can do. He can get 20 a night and really help an offensive challenge team like the Pacers going forward. I'll be interested to see what they can do.
Jameson Welsh, you get at basketballnews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheJameson. Jameson, I appreciate you jumping on, especially on short notice, to break down this trade. Thank you very much. I know we'll talk again real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Jameson Welsh, Coach Lynn Tuttle, for taking out the time to join us as well. See you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.